Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. I'm thankful for what Brother Joel shared with us. The Lord's the one that can change us. He's the one that can get us straightened out and help us to come to the right kind of an end in our life. I'd like to look over in our Christian hymnals to page number 503. This is a song that I always learned to enjoy when I was teaching school. And every one of you students, from the lowest grade to the highest grade, ought to just about know this song perfectly. Now let's all of us stand together as we sing 503, Christian hymnal. Oh, happy is the man who hears instruction's warning voice, and who celestial wisdom makes his early only choice. For she hath treasures greater far than east and west unfold, and her reward more precious are than all their stores of gold, In her right hand is length of days for those who heed her voice. Her left hand offers wealth and praise to make her sons rejoice. You notice as we sing down through here some of the wonderful things that we can be partakers of if we listen to the instruction that comes from God. Wisdom and knowledge that is heavenly and celestial. And especially she guides the young with innocence in pleasure's path to tread. A crown of glory she bestows upon the hoary head. Upon the hoary head. Let's sing that fourth verse. She guides the young with innocence in pleasure's path to tread. A crown of glory she bestows upon the hoary head. According as her labors rise, so her rewards increase. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace, and all her paths are peace. You be seated. If you'd like to look with me this morning, I'd like to look over into the book of Proverbs. It seems as I went back and forth in my Bible to this scripture and that scripture, the whole Bible is just so loaded with what I want to talk about this morning, so not sure exactly where to start, but we'll start right here. It's like somebody said that, what did it say? They said something about an old Amish preacher. He'd preach, and he'd preach from Genesis to Revelation, and maybe that's what I'll do this morning, but we'll start in Proverbs. Proverbs, the first verse. And as we go down through here, I'd just like for you to see if you can just pick out the wonderful treasures that are for you and are for me as we listen to the celestial wisdom, not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom that comes from above. And I was amazed as I looked down through here and just saw all the different things that are included by just following God's will. My son, forget not my law, but keep thine heart, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now, you notice right there in that second verse, length of days, long life, peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. He shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. I don't know if I'd ask however many of you have ever seen a ruby. I'm not sure if I ever have. I've seen fake ones, I think. They make these little fake ones and decorate some of their stuff that they have in the Walmarts. But real rubies, she is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Here it is again. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broke up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shall they walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Then when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go, and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Let's just bow our heads. Our Father, we come to thee this morning with thankful hearts for the faithfulness of God and for thy mercy to us to another day. We thank thee that we are living in a place of peace and safety as we rest in thy hands. We realize all around us is destruction and death and misery. And we pray that thou will help us, Lord, that we might stay up close to thee. Help us to lean completely and entirely upon thee and trust in thee. We ask that thou wilt guide and direct in this service and help us, Lord, that we might be able to say that which needs to be said and leave unsaid those things not to be said. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes it's interesting for us to maybe go into a little different setting than what we find ourselves. If you go into some of these big city areas and go back into some of the slum areas, you'll find things that you never knew was there. And you don't have to go very far. I know that you can go to Springfield and you can find desolation and just completely despair. And you can find that right in Springfield. But I'd say that if we probably really knew it, we could find probably the same thing right here in Seymour. Homes that are shattered by sin and shattered by falling the flesh, falling the world, and just doing what a person thinks he wants to do. I just yesterday, I think it was, that I ran onto a little story that of a situation in a city area. It was a desperate situation. It was speaking first of the mother and how she was raised up, and then how everything fell apart and she started in taking certain kinds of drugs that just knocked her out completely. And they said she took crack, whatever that means. They talk about meth, and it doesn't mean one day all the same as far as I know, but I know they're not. But for a good while she was on that, and she said that it would just leave all of her troubles would just disappear. But then when she would come back, here they all were. It was just a false hope that she had. And she had children there in the home, a number of different fathers, and a mother that was just conked out a lot of the time. It was a really rough situation. The worst thing was for the children. She'd been raised up this way and in a horrible place. The little boy went to school. Her little boy, her son, went to school. And they asked him, the teacher said, "What do you want to be when you get big, when you grow up, what do you want to be?" And his response was, a fighter. Well, why would you want to be a fighter? Well, as far as in his mind, that's the only way you could exist in an area like that. If you wasn't willing to stand up against all the bullies and everybody else, then you was clear down. And I know some of his family, they were noted to be, to stand up for what they thought, and they were fighters. The teacher, of course, was not a Christian, I'm sure, but she said all that she knew. She said, well, you don't want to be a fighter. She said, you're a smart boy. She said, you could go on and become an attorney. And he'd never ever thought of anything like that, becoming an attorney, a lawyer. But sort of what she said to him encouraged him as far as to really study and to apply himself. And so when a lot of the boys could care less about doing any study in their school, he applied himself and he'd go home. They didn't even have any table in their home. So he'd go in and the bed was there and he'd sit on the floor and put his books up there on the bed, and that was his table, and he'd study on that bed. Their home was just about bare. They had hardly anything. And their clothes were so pitiful that finally the mother said to him one day, she said, I'm going to make you some clothes. Your clothes are just tattered. And so she went over and she jerked a curtain off of the wall and she made him some clothes out of a curtain. Well, now, among us, you've never heard of such a thing like that. That was the best thing she had as far as material. She made him clothes out of that curtain, and then he was ashamed of his clothes. And he was in and out school, and yet he was doing his best to apply himself to all he knew. And I'd like to think, you know, about our own selves. Where are we headed? And what are our goals in life? If when we were young, probably somebody would ask us, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I'm not sure what you answered, but there's a lot of answers that could have come about. A farmer, a construction man, a lot of different things. As young boys look up to their daddies and they want to be what they are a lot of times. But this young fellow went ahead and applied himself, and he even got some kind of a grant and went on through college, and he was the first one of any of them in that area that went through college, and he did become an attorney. Now I'm not for sure what it gained him. As far as satisfaction in life, he did move back into the area and was trying to help some of the people there. But I think you and I have something that's worth far more than that. And our goals can be much higher than this earthly level that we find ourselves in here. All kinds of things are happening in the world that we're living in. And all kinds of people are speculating and trying to gain more of what the world can give them. And many of them have gained the world, but they're going to lose their own soul. There are many of them that we know of that have been wealthy men. I happen to think of the name, and I never saw the man. I've seen pictures of him in Springfield. They built some big buildings down there. And I have no idea about him or where he went. You've heard the name John Q. Hammond, I'm sure. And there's other men all around this world that have made their mark earthly-wise, and yet they're headed out of this world, and a lot of them have not prepared for eternity. And a lot of them have their wealth all gathered around them and invested in smart ways, if you like. And yet, in a moment of time, They're going to slip out into eternity and be gone. I had to think of some of the ones. I've seen pictures of Bill Gates, was the world's richest man, and how that he, all that he's, the work that he's done with the different softwares and with computers and that technology. Something just came out the other day that they're talking about all around that is going to change everything, they say. They say that oil is going to become obsolete. They say that there is another source of energy that is free that is going to make oil, gasoline, natural gas, all of that completely, the use of it completely disappear. I have no idea if it's true or if it's not true. And they say that things are going to change. And of course, this made rich men begin to pick up their ears and begin to listen. And they begin to switch their stocks and their bonds and all of those different things. They say Einstein had discovered the capabilities and the capacities of solar energy way back when he was around. But it was never been able to be captured and put to use in a way that it didn't cost a lot. But they say that that has changed at this point, that there's a company that has, they have been able to harness it on very, very cheaply, way more cheaply than any oil. And now the billionaires are putting billions of dollars into this. Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and Microsoft and Apple and Walmart's, and the biggest user of oil is the U.S. military, they say. And all of them have started plunging and putting in billions of dollars into this. They say it looks like there will be $43 trillion, and I can't even comprehend $1 million. And $1 billion is clear out of my range, and $1 trillion is way out someplace else. $43 trillion into it. People are planning and planning. Like Brother Joe said, instead of being sure today that we live in such a way as we'll be ready for whatever comes tomorrow, they're planning for bigger estates and bigger accounts and bigger homes and more assets. And they're doing their very best to rake all this stuff together into the little earthly nest. And the Lord looks down from heaven and he laughs. Let's look over into Psalms, the 37th chapter. Psalms 37. Starting with verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. You know, that's not their, what they're planning on, is it? They would like to inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath, is better than the riches of many wicked. I hope every one of you young people remember that. The little that a righteous man has is better than all of the riches of many wicked. If you have your own home, just a little place to get alone, have your family and contentment, you've got something that a lot of people in their big mansions and their big estates, all of those wealthy things, there is no peace, there is no joy. In a lot of those places, there's nothing but fighting and divorcing and going here and there and being untrue. It's a terrible situation. He says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Now I'd like to look back to that third chapter of Proverbs. The third chapter of Proverbs. And we're living in a day when people are afraid. Their hearts are failing them for fear. And the love of many is waxing cold. Just yesterday, I guess it was, just in a little town, wasn't even by a big city, but in just a small town, they said they had a shopping mall there and people coming and going. And in walks a young man. They saw him on the cameras and he walked back out. And 10 minutes later, he came back in with a rifle and he started shooting. Why? Why did he do that? I mean, even if he hated someone, even if he had something against someone, now he's been captured, he's in jail, he's probably either headed for the death penalty or life in prison. The person likes to stay in a place behind bars with wicked, wicked, evil people the rest of your life, or your life be ended. Why can't people see that a moment of gratifying the flesh or taking your anger out on something or for any reason that you have is not worth it? And yet they only think about the moment's time of satisfaction to make the flesh satisfied and happy, do what the flesh says. They're in bondage to the flesh. And I'd like for you to look here just for a little bit in this third chapter in verse 21. There's a real different picture here. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And you know, there's a lot of difference between facts and truth and instruction and knowledge and wisdom. You know, the facts are so. Whatever the facts are, you can't change them. I can't change them. The truth will stand. It's going to stand forever. The devil can't change it. All the wicked people in the world, they may want you to justify their wickedness and not to speak out or preach against their wickedness, but the truth will stand. And if what is not truth, you can't make it truth. If you whitewash it, if you do everything you can to make it look like truth, it is not the truth and it will not stand in the day of judgment. And then we come to instruction. You know, there can be different kinds of instruction given. Sometimes in wicked homes, children are taught wicked things, to go out and to steal from others, to bring in a little money. They're taught that maybe they can slip by and get by lying and telling half-truths and white lies and all that kind of thing. That's bad instruction. But then there's good instruction that God gives to his people, and he has ordained different ones to preach the word and to teach the word and good instruction goes out. And whenever we get done with a service, we go out of the service and we're more accountable than when we came in, because the Lord is faithful to give us new light and to show us the next steps in our Christian life. And he gives us new instruction. Some people receive instruction, but they don't walk in the light. And then what happens? Then they get off of the narrow way and out in the darkness. And how dark is that darkness? But the light is a clear path. It leads us all the way to the glory world. And the instruction that God gives is wonderful instruction. It's that which, if we take it and make use of it, it gives us knowledge of the holy, knowledge of truth, and we have something that we're accountable for. And then we come to that last little word that I have to, many times I've thought about that wisdom. Wisdom is taking that knowledge that we have and the truth and the facts and all those things and pulling it around and putting it in its proper places. Wisdom is taking what we're accountable for and being wise. We can just throw it to the wind. We can just say, well, that's what they say. I never forget the time when the theater man come walking into Byler's one day, and he had his little paper out and was inviting me to come down to the theater, to the drive-in. And he's telling me all about it. What do you say? You know, he's all enthused about what he has. So what do you tell him? Well, I wanted to be careful what I said. And I told him, the only thing that I could tell him, I said, well, and I probably can't say in the same words that I said it to him. But I said, I let him know that we couldn't approve of those things that they're showing there, and that we don't want to do anything that would keep us from making it to heaven. And he said, well, I'll just take my business elsewhere. And he turned around and he said, that's just what you think. And he marched out the door. But, you know, that's what I thought. That my accumulation of knowledge and of the Word of God and truth came down to this conclusion, that if I look at those things and allow those things in my life, it's going to take me to the wrong place. And you don't have to just go to a theater to find those places that's going to take you to the wrong place. I mean, you can find it in magazines. You can listen to it on CDs. You can find it on computers. You can look at books. There's a lot of different things and places you can listen to wicked people that would like to trash your life. But you know, those were my accumulated thoughts and what I believed. And I believed it was heavenly wisdom, that it was not, I didn't learn it in any college or any school, but I learned it at the feet of Jesus. And that's what I thought, but now that man knows what the truth is now. He is in eternity. He's gone. And you know, our opportunities that we have every day with people that come in contact with us, what do we do with our opportunities? What do we say? Sometimes we don't know hardly what to say, but God is able to give us the right words. It may not be a lot. It may be simply that we don't say a thing. We don't laugh at their crude jokes or their dirty jokes. But they can see that there's something different. And sometimes we may look back and we think, oh, if I would have just said so-and-so, or if I would have just done so-and-so. But our opportunities keep slipping by us every single day. Many opportunities. And as we start the day, may the Lord help us that we can pray that as God gives us those opportunities, He can give us the wisdom and He can give us the courage to take our stand for the truth and for right, for the wisdom that will not pass away. Now, if you'll notice here just for a little bit, he's speaking about wisdom and discretion. And then in verse 22 of Psalms 3, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And you know, right there, if we're not careful, we can allow these things to give us fear, to make us afraid. Brother David was mentioning to me the other day how that back when he was a boy, and he's mentioned this here too, how that, you know, there was a fear of the atomic bomb. And that was something, as I was growing up, people were always afraid that the Russians were going to bomb us, that we were going to be bombed with the atomic bomb. And the premier or president, whichever one he is, he said, the United States is afraid of us because we're the only country that can wipe them off the face of the earth in less than 30 minutes. And you know, if we did not have the peace of God within our hearts, that would terrify us and make us afraid. But I'm glad because of the peace of God within our hearts, we know that it's all in the Lord's hands. And that president or that prime minister, whoever he is, his life is in the hands of God. And he can't punch any buttons. He can't do anything unless the Lord allows it. But wickedness is abounding all around us, and ungodliness, and there's going to be judgment from God upon the ungodliness. We've got it around us all in the United States. This used to be called a Christian nation, and yet they don't want you to say that anymore, and I'm afraid it wouldn't qualify. I'd like to look over into the book of James, into the fourth chapter, or the third chapter. Here is the real test for true wisdom. In the third chapter of James, and start with verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Did you ever think of that little phrase? I'm sure you wouldn't find it out in the world, anything about meekness of wisdom. Because in their eyes, wisdom means a degree. Wisdom means, would you like to see my resume? This is what I've done. This is what I've accomplished. This is where I went to school. This is where I got this degree. And I finished and got this degree. And I worked successfully in this business. This is success in the eyes of the world. But in God's eyes, he says, with meekness of wisdom, the one that is not flaunting himself, not pushing himself forward, but in the fear of God, he's seeking to know more about the Holy One, the one that inhabiteth eternity, God, the one that is in charge of all of the universe. I just picked up a book up at the store. I hadn't seen it. Maybe it's been out for a while. And I can't think of his first name. His last name is Yoder. And he's coming here for meetings. But he talks a lot about the universe and all that's out there. And he has a book now put out with, I mean, it's really descriptive. And I told my wife, looking at that thing, that I said, you know, that's just almost scary. You look at it, it's almost like that you're shooting out into space. And you're looking at these things that you've never, ever seen before in your life. And I've often told people, I'm more satisfied just to keep my feet right on this good, solid ground. At least it's solid unless there's an earthquake or a hurricane or a tornado or something. But I have no desire to go shooting out, put my feet on the moon and walk on the moon and all that thing. But the power of God, when you look in that book, and that's just a speck, I'm sure, of what the universe is about. And it shows out there light years and light years away all of the different formations and the things that are out there. I can't even begin to tell you what it's like. All I can tell you is it's just unimaginable. But here he's speaking about the God of the universe. And the opposite of what God does. He is an orderly God. He keeps everything in perfect order. When there's confusion, when there's other things besides that, it's not of God. Mark it down. And what he says here, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, you know, that's where it starts. If we have bitter envy, and envy is a good place where covetousness starts, right down here, we covet something that somebody else has or would like to have as much as what somebody else has. Or we envy the way he looks or the way he acts. And then we can get bitterness down there to where that if we could just get a hold of so-and-so, we could really work him over. Bitter envy and strife starts in the heart. And then he says, glory not and lie not against the truth. Did you ever see anyone say, he made me so mad I could just... And they glory in their anger, in their wrath. And they were sort of glad that they had a sharp temper. That's just a Burke trait. It's just, I can't help it, just get mad. Well, I hope it's not. But even if it is, God can change those things. And he can make us what we should be. He can straighten out the old bitter, wrathful heart. He can make us what we need to be. Strife in your hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. You know, the truth is truth. And truth is what's going to stand. And the truth is that if we have the works of the flesh, that he said we're not going to be able to even inherit the kingdom of God. If we have those things that it tells about the fruit of the Spirit, and those are the things that are produced by a heart that is clean and pure. The fountain puts out clean water, not clean and bitter, but clean water. He says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. It is earthly and sensual and devilish. So right there you've got the earth, the worldly, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Right there, and it's spelled out really clear. Earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. The one that's sitting beside you, are they your Christian brother or sister? How are our feelings to each one? Someone said, well, if he's going around that way, then I don't have to worry about greeting him. I remember Brother Dan, clear back when we first came to his bookstore, he said, it's a little hard to not love somebody and give them the Christian greeting. And you know, I've seen that when people sort of get where they shouldn't be. They go this way, that way, but they don't want to meet somebody because, well, you know the way he treated me. You know what she said about me. And I've got that little chip on my shoulder, and it's going to stay there until she straightens things out or he gets things straightened up. That's devilish. That's sensual. That's earthly. envying and strife, where it is, there's confusion in every evil work. But I like the next few verses there. They tell us about a heavenly wisdom, a wisdom that is not from down here. You can't learn it at any college in the United States or at the university. You can't learn it at any of those places. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And only God can change our hearts and make our hearts clean and pure, so that our lives will then reflect the presence of God and be pure in what we do and what we say and what we think. Only God can do that. We cannot do that in ourselves. It's first pure, then it's peaceable, it's gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, and without partiality and without hypocrisy. I'm so glad it's something that you don't have to put on. You don't have to remember what you said to this one and that one, because you said the same thing to each one. You said the truth. And so, whatever, I've told my wife sometimes, and I'm not sure if this is exactly correct, that, well, you know, what if this one hurt, or what if that one hurt? Well, I really don't care, because I know it's the truth, and yet sometimes it's appropriate to say the truth in this situation and this situation. And maybe sometimes God knows when we're supposed to say the truth. It's always the truth. But you don't just, like who was it said that they came to listen to John Wesley preach, and it was just one man showed up and he said he preached a full message to him. And he came up after the message and told him, he said, well, you know, when I go out to feed the cattle and one cow comes up, I don't just take the whole load and dump the whole load on them. And I guess he felt like that he got the whole load, the full message. Well, God knows how to give us godly discretion and to make us a truthful people and a pure and a holy people. And then he says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And there was a little incident that I wanted to just mention that happened a number of years ago in closing down in the African countries. In this country, probably 100 years ago, down in Johannesburg, a little mud hut, and a lady lived there. They called her Granny. She was a native from that area. She couldn't read. She couldn't write. They always felt that her mind was just a little bit deficient. And in her hut, there was one room. She had no windows to it. And the door was sort of low, so you had to stoop over to get into the hut. And her house was dark. It was sort of like a dog kennel. She didn't have any furniture, and so she just laid down on the floor at night. And she covered herself with an old blanket that was so filthy that it was stiff. Never washed anything. And she didn't have any chairs, so she sat on the floor. She built a fire right in the middle to do her cooking on, and so the smoke just filled her house. And she was hungry, and so this preacher from town decided he was going to take her some groceries. And he did. He took her some groceries from the store. And he knew that she liked to, I guess she used snuff. Now you can think what kind of a preacher this was. He said he didn't believe in snuff, and he didn't use it, and he didn't believe it should be used in, but she had it, probably used it for 95 years. She was probably 100 or better. And he didn't know how to explain to her what was wrong with it. And so within the groceries, he put a little old thing of snuff in there. Anyway, one day she was in there and her clothes caught on fire and she was terribly burned. She was laid on the floor and she suffered and didn't have hardly any attention. Nobody would even go and help her. In spite of the filth and neglect, she recovered somewhat. But the only way she could get around was she lay on her back and she'd put her elbows down and she'd sort of push herself that way. She couldn't lay over or even crawl. And she'd creep around a little with her feet and her elbows. And she was so crisp by the fire that you could hardly tell, they said, whether she was a human or an animal, because of her looks. But one day, there was someone went in to visit her and talk to her about the Lord. And they came out of there rejoicing, saying, "Granny has become a Christian. Granny has become a Christian." In such deplorable conditions. Aren't you glad that God doesn't look down on us and say, "Well, your name has to be this or that, or you have to come in so-and-so family. But whosoever will may come." Any one of us can come to the foot of the cross. And some of them sort of made fun of the person that had gone in and tried to help her. And yet, one of the young men who was making the most fun became a Christian himself. And he wanted to go, one of the first things he wanted to do was go see Granny. She'd become a Christian, and he took his daughters or his sisters, and they went over and they sat down out there in the front and they were singing to her. And she laid there and she was enjoying the singing. And as they sang that beautiful hymn, it seemed like that the young fellow, he decided he's going to read a scripture to her. And he didn't figure any scripture would be fine because he didn't know how much that she really caught on. And he turned back into Revelation and began to read about the description of Jesus. And it told about Jesus. And they said that as she laid there, she looked over that at them and she her dim eyes sparkled and she said, "Wait a minute, I know that man. I know that man." Said, "He's the one who comes to see me every night." You know, it's not the high and mighty, it's not the high and lofty, it's not the wise and the ones with the degrees, but it's the ones that get low at his feet, like Mary did, that get to hear Jesus and see him. And here this poor lady, the young people, they were astonished because she started in describing the way Jesus looked and he come to see her. And it was just like it was laid out in Revelation. They couldn't believe their ears. It was exactly like the scripture had said it was. And she talked more about the beautiful appearance of Jesus. And when they had gone, they found out that instead of them teaching her, she'd taught them. And the news started spreading around about Granny becoming a real Christian. And here comes back this preacher that had been getting her some groceries, and he had a little deal of snuff in there. And he came in that next time, and she called him by name, and she says, to him, says, "You don't need to bring me any more snuff." Well, he was surprised. He was shocked. And he said, "Well, why?" And she said, "Because that man who comes to see me every night told me that if I wanted to live for him, I must not use any more snuff." And she never touched it again. She didn't have a church that said line up or out or anything like that, but she was in contact with Him, with Jesus. You know, we get in contact with Him, we get heavenly wisdom. We get wisdom that this world can't give us, and we have a fellowship. And the things that are wrong, we don't want to do them. Not around behind the back of anybody. We're wanting to please God. So what if anybody knows, or if they don't know? God knows, and so we want to please Him. So many people profess to be Christians and go on with their sinful habits. But I'm thankful tonight that if we have the real wisdom that is from above, it's pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without hypocrisy, without partiality. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. If we have the Prince of Peace down here, then His presence goes out from us. It produces peace. Let's